For the past month or so, you've been hearing that verse, Joshua 24:15. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we even issued the 24:15 challenge. And the way that you all used $24.15 to serve the Lord, they're posted around the room and on your way out. And I hope you take an opportunity to read several of those to be encouraged by them. The theme for stewardship has been 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that little verse right at the end of Joshua has a context. Now, there's a context leading up to it that I'm convinced that if we understand what's leading up to that verse, and it makes better sense when we are thinking about that particular verse in Scripture. And so we've been looking at some of the larger context. Remember that? The Israelites coming out of captivity in Egypt, and they go to the edge of the promised land promised to them, and they send spies, 12 spies, into the land, and 10 of them come back with a real negative report, that the people there are too scary and there's nothing we can do that would enable us to go in and take the land that is promised to us. Only two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, remember, have a different spirit. So right at the edge of the promised land, what God has said is theirs, they doubt. They give in to fear. And as a consequence, God sends them for a time of training and discipline. This is the 40 years that they are in the wilderness. But then they come back after that 40 years. Now Moses has died. Joshua is leading the Israelites. And they do cross the Jordan. And they do go into the promised land. They are able to overcome the obstacles in front of them. So they move from doubt and fear to being able to do what God has said they can do. And now we've gone through the coming into the promised land, and we are at the end of Joshua's life. At the end of Joshua's life, and he knows that there's going to be a leadership transition. And so he gathers all of the people together at Shechem. And his idea is we're going to have a covenant renewal. He doesn't want, when he dies, for there to be this leadership vacuum and all this chaos. And so he calls them together for a specific purpose. And that's what we're going to read today, Joshua 24. This is the covenant renewal of God's people at Shechem. Before I read, let us pray. O Lord, we pray this day that your word would be our light and that your voice would be the loudest one today, so that all the competing voices that vie for our attention would be silenced and we might hear your word for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Joshua 24, some people have said that this chapter is the Old Testament boiled down into one chapter. See if you can pick up on that as I read. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterwards, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the rivers and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that he went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the Israelites are all called together at Shechem. And a good way to think about what happens here, or a good way to remember it, is at Shechem there are three R's: remember, recommit, and rely. The first thing they're going to do is remember. When the people gather at Shechem, they remember. They remember who God is. They remember what God has done. Another way of saying it is that they worship. I think you know this, that at the heart of worship, Hebrew worship and Christian worship, is remembering. Remembering who God is and what God has done. And you see that in the beginning of the chapter. Joshua stands before the people, and taking the role of the prophet, one who speaks the word of the Lord over them, he leads them in remembering who God is and what God has done. Starting in verse 2, here's the "Thus says the Lord: Long ago you served other gods, but I took Abraham and promised him descendants. I gave Abraham a son, Isaac. I gave Isaac his sons, Jacob and Esau. When Jacob and his sons went into Egypt and became slaves, I sent Moses and Aaron. And then I plagued Egypt. I brought you out. When the Egyptians pursued you, do you remember that? I parted the Red Sea and delivered you. I brought you into this land. I delivered your enemies to you. I gave you a land on which you had not labored. I gave you cities that you did not build. I gave you vineyards that you did not plant. This is the remembering. God's saying to them, let's be clear, you're here not because of your merit, but because of my plan and my grace. The word of the Lord here is remember. At Shechem, the people are called to remember what God has done for them. It's a heart of worship. The second R is recommit. If you pick up in verse 14, in light of all the things that we are remembering, now therefore fear the Lord and serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness. Now this isn't the first time that they've been encouraged to recommit. After the Red Sea that he reminded them of, God gave them the law, the Ten Commandments, and the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. And I want to stop and explain something about the culture in which they lived. That have no other gods was a big deal for the Israelites, because at that time, wherever you were, if you were in Egypt or if you were in Canaan, it was routine and understood that there were going to be many, many, many different gods. It was a polytheistic culture. And each god represented some kind of power or some sort of control over nature or individuals or groups. And the gods didn't necessarily interfere with each other, because no one of those gods demanded complete allegiance. You could have a bunch of different gods. And then Yahweh shows up, the Israelite God, and says, no other gods, only me. Yahweh demands that the other gods be put away. And that was tough to do in that culture. It was far preferable to just add the God of Israel to the long list of gods that people worshiped. But at Shechem, Joshua knows the people. He knows how prone to idolatry they are, and he brings them to a point of recommitment. He brings them to a point of decision. He wants to make sure that this is not their recommitment to Yahweh as long as they're able to be committed to all the other gods as well. Joshua says, you've got to choose this day. And part of choosing Yahweh is putting away the other gods. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua steps out and recommits his life to serving the Lord, and he asks the Israelites for their decision. And we see their response. It's in verse 18. They're so excited. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. They recommit. And the whole thing could end here, couldn't it? We've had a good worship service. We've had a call to recommit, and we've had an enthusiastic group of people say, yes, 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 we recommit to serving the Lord. But I told you there were three R's. There's the remember, there's the recommit, and the third one is they've got to understand about relying on the God that they serve. Well, Joshua's going to help them with that. Imagine this, the enthusiasm of the people recommitting to God, and Joshua steps out, and you might expect him to go, way to go, people, I knew that you were going to recommit, but he doesn't do that. And instead he says, you're not able. You're not able to serve the Lord because He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to forgive your transgressions or your sins if you continue to forsake Him and to serve those other gods. He's going to eventually turn and do harm, consume you. Joshua says, you can't do what you're so excited about doing because God is holy. He can't tolerate the sinfulness. And God is jealous. It's not enough to add Him to your list of gods. He wants to be your one and only. So Joshua says, you can't do it. Now remember what I said about this chapter being the Old Testament boiled down to one chapter. And here it is. The people are being called to do something that they can't possibly do. They're called to forsake all others and serve the Lord, but because of their innate sinfulness, they can't do it. And Joshua knows the reality of the situation, and he gives them the answer in verse 23. Incline your heart to the Lord. That's the third R. Rely. Rely on the Lord. You see, we've got to understand this, that the God does not give the Israelites the law and then walk off and see what they're going to do. He wants to remain connected to His people, and that connection by His Spirit shows them the only way that they are going to be able to do what they've been called to do is to rely on Him. Joshua says, you cannot obey until you are transformed. So at Shechem, we don't just see a commitment, we see a call to transformation. And that transformation begins when they start to rely moment by moment on the God who is calling them. Now, remember, recommit, and rely. That was a long time ago, but it reaches into our lives here today. This can be a Shechem moment. This can be a Shechem moment. We're remembering. We're worshiping. At the heart of our lives as Christians is worship, remembering not because it's our merit or our decisions that we're here this morning. It's not our good planning. It's because of God's work in our lives and God's grace in our lives. Worship at Shechem, it's a model for us. You know, we're rehearsing and we're remembering the things that God has done for us. Think of that whole list of the things that God did for the Israelites. You've got a list of things that God has done for you. God would say to us today, I took you, I gave you, I brought you out. I delivered you. You're here today not because of your own merit. You're here because of God's plan and God's grace. Friends, that's what worship is. And the further away we drift from worship, the smaller God's role becomes in our lives and the larger we think we really are. Remembering who God is and what God has done. Today can be Shechem because we can recommit. Every day you wake up, you've got the opportunity to renew your commitment to being a disciple of Jesus. Every day we can say, choose today who you're going to serve. Now for some of you, I know you live that way. I know you wake up in the morning and the light breaks in and you think today is a day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. That path to discipleship is daily remembering God's grace in your life and the way that you want to live for Him and not for yourselves. And for some others of us, we just don't stop that often to take inventory. We're barely hanging on. Today could be a day of recommitment. Today could be a day that we say, I'm putting away the false gods. I'm putting away the false gods, and I want to recommit myself to serving the one true God. Now, the false gods are different for us, aren't they? But we all have them. And Joshua's right. Part of following the one true God is identifying and acknowledging those competing gods in our lives. And they may be different. Maybe different for each one here. But that task sounds so daunting that relying part, we can't forget about that. Because the problem with our recommitment is the knowledge that we lack the ability to do it on our own. And God knows that. He knows the idols that are in our land. He knows how prone we are to leave Him and serve them. But the good news is that we are not alone. We don't rely on our own strength, but on the strength of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. In our lives, our attempts at discipleship are going to be fruitless, are going to be barren without that connection to Christ. They're going to be incredibly impossible without relying on Him every moment of every day. So today can be a Shechem moment. Today can be a day where we're gathered here to worship and to remember what God has done in our lives. Today can be a day when we stand up and say, yes, I want to recommit myself or commit myself to God's plan, not my plan. Today can be a day where there's hope in relying on Him. There's hope in knowing that God has not left us alone in this world, but we have the gift of His Holy Spirit. God gives us that gift. Today is Stewardship Commitment Sunday, and I want to suggest to you that the little card that you brought or the one that's in the pew that you've been paying attention to, in terms of a Shechem moment, that little card is about this much of what I'm talking about. Commitment to Christ covers every area of your life. But I can say in the church that we ask for this moment related to stewardship because it helps with mission and ministry here. So I do hope that you'll take part. But I don't want you to be confused about it. Remembering and recommitting and relying. This isn't something that we do every fall right before Thanksgiving. This is a call that God has every moment of every day of our lives. Today's a day that we open our eyes and say, you know what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, if you would like to participate in the commitment of stewardship, planning for the coming year, then I invite you to take one of those cards and fill it out if you haven't already. Our choir is going to sing a song of commitment, and as they do, you're invited from right where you are to come and put your card in the offering basket on the communion table as the choir sings, and then when they are finished, we'll stand and pray our prayer of dedication.